Shemishmuel Parshas Truma Tafshin Ayin Vav. Okay, first of all, I want to bring to everyone's attention a new piece of decoration for our room, sponsored by Yoni Fleischman. A Marsha in the Chedushei Agados in Bava Basra. Marsha says on the Gemara, Shayu Omrim Ashrei Mi Shaba Lakan V'Talmudo B'Yado. Yesh Lafarish, says the Marsha, Ki Ikra HaLimud V'Shanasa Bo Roshem Hu HaLimud Haba Miksiva Siyad. Ashrei Mi Shaba Lakan V'Talmudo B'Yado. Praiseworthy is the person who comes to the Olam HaEmes after 120 with what? Talmudo B'Yado. The main learning that leaves a mark, not just on your notebook but on your soul, is the learning in which you write things down. Asher alkein nekro chachamim sofrim. That's why the chachamim, Seches Kedushin, are called sofrim. Because a Jew who is serious about Torah is always writing things down. So, I want to thank Yoni for being mechazik us to take good notes. I thank my brother, Abdavidol, earlier this week for being mechazik us to take good notes. We'll hang this up. Mirtz Hashem, it'll be a reminder. Come to the Olam HaEmes. Maybe you're even allowed to bring your notebooks with you. I don't know how it works. Your computer.
Open notes.
But even if you literally take notes and throw them out after shir, you'll remember the shir better. Okay, so Ashrei Mi Shaba Lakan V'Talmudo B'Yado. Okay, last week we spoke about being a pnimi. Remember the mice in the Rebbe Rashab? And people were rushing through the Nigan, and he said, a Jew has to be a pnimi, you have to be where you are in the moment. And we spoke what it means to be a person who's not only serving Hashem b'chitzonius, but a person who wants to be a true Eved Hashem through and through. So as a hemshich of that, and in a certain sense a hemshich of Parshas Yisro also what we spoke about, today I want to speak about, Shemi Shmuel is going to speak to us about, what it means to make sure that when we're learning Torah, that we're focused on the pnimius HaTorah. Now I know it's not Lag BaOmer, and I know that that's a time when maybe we think a lot about pnimius HaTorah and sodos HaTorah. But the truth is we have to always be thinking about the fact that every bit of Torah that we learn has a sod, has a secret. And the Shem Yishmuel wants us to know, not only do we, like we learned last week, have to be pnimim, we have to be people who are connected to our own pnimius, who are internally wholesome, but when we learn the Torah, we have to learn it with the pnimius Shabbat. Okay, let's actually start on page 2. I never like to put anyone other than the Shem Yishmuel on the first page. But I want to start on page 2. Since it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, let's learn a piece of B'nai Yisachar, Chodesh Sivan, Maimer Hay, Os Ches and Tes. No, it has to do with Adar. You'll see. Okay? He writes very, very strong, and you'll see exactly where the shir is going very quickly. In the right-hand column, he writes in Os Ches. The Zohar Kodesh tells us, the Mekubalim further bring it, Onesh mi she'eno mamin b'nistaroth shevetorah v'sodoseh. Woe to the individual who doesn't believe that the Torah has a dimension of Nistar, that every bit of Torah is filled with a secret. I want to rebuke myself. This morning, during Hagba, there was someone who was like getting really up in the Torah, you know? Like someone who like wants to stare at it. And as I was watching this, I was thinking to myself, like, hey, just relax, you know, like calm down a little bit. And I was like, it was like a lot. It was a lot the way he was. But then I said to myself, what's wrong with you? He believes, and rightfully so, that when a person, like Tzadikim say, if you look at the osios, it has a hashpah on your soul. So I should say to myself, what's wrong with you? Here you have an opportunity to draw from the light of the Torah. You don't see, the letters aren't illuminated to our natural eyes. We can't see the letters shining into his soul. But he was absolutely right what he was doing. And I was the one who was being lazy.
Maybe he can.
Okay? So, Chas V'Shalom, I should look down on him. I should look down, literally look down. I was on the second floor of Gluck. I should look down upon him. Yeah, because what? Because I'm not appreciating the sod of what he was doing. It's a chashuv thing what he was doing. So woe to the person that's Zohar Kaddish, a person who what? A person who doesn't, who's not mamin in the nistaros of the Torah, in the sod of the Torah. Va'omer she'ein barak ha'pshat. Chas V'Shalom, a person says, no, pshat is where it starts and where it ends. And he brings here from the Chidah, as the B'nai Yisachar often does, he quotes from the Chidah in his Dvash Lefi, also in his Midbar Kademos, two encyclopedic volumes of the Chidah, arranged alphabetically. But Tori is Dalet Chalke Pardes Kanoda. We know Torah operates in Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. What happens if a person doesn't believe in Sodos HaTorah? Misha Eino Mamin Besod Hu Pered. What's a pered? A mule. A mule. A person who doesn't believe in Sodos HaTorah is like a mule. A sterile mule. It's not able to produce fruit. That's why they say Svaradim are very into Sodos HaTorah, because Svarad, right, you put the sod even before anything else. So Svaradim have a natural natia towards Sodos HaTorah, towards Pnimis HaTorah. So says the Chida, if you take the sod out of Torah, you're not a pardes, you're not a beautiful orchard producing fruit, but you become what? You become a parrot. You become a lowly animal. Pshat, he says, the same Osio says tipesh. A person who gets lost, so to speak, in the outer trappings of the Torah is a fool. And he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Tafash kachelev libam ayin sham. Okay? Now go to the left-hand side, nose test. V'yeshli letarech b'zeh kushyos ha-tosfos. Why am I bringing this? How does this connect us to Rosh Chodesh Adar? So, however, everyone knows that the Jews said Nasa v'nishma. Rashi holds in Muktav Muchar b'Torah. That means when we read Nasa v'nishma this past Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim, it was really said Kodem Kabbalas v'Torah. Other Rishonim said that Nasa v'nishma was said much later. We grew up thinking Nasa v'nishma was the original acceptance of the Torah, right before we came to Kabbalas v'Torah. That was the offer that preceded standing at the mountain. That's what Rashi says. And that seems to be exactly what Chazal say. The Gemara says in Shabbos that the Jews, or Tosfos certainly assumes that way in the Gemara in Shabbos, that the Jews stood at the mountain, v'yaziyatzu b'tachte sahar, the Gemara in Shabbos peches, malam mitchakof aleim har kegigis, Hashem held the mountain overhead. Says Tosfos over there, Shabbos peches amad aleph, why is Hashem holding a mountain overhead if we already said what? Nasa v'nishma. Why is Hashem threatening us to accept the Torah when we said we will do it before we even hear what's in it? So why is Hashem threatening us? That's Tosfos' question. Shabbos Peches of Aleph. What answer does Tosfos give? Anyone remember? Spoken about it in the past. What's Tosfos' answer, yeah?
I don't remember that. He wasn't forcing us, he was protecting us.
No. It's nice, that's sweet. He's thinking like a chassan who's going to be standing under a chuppah. It's very nice. It's good, no, it's good. You're a chassan, you should think like that. And there is a Maimar Chazal that views the mountain as not a coercion, but as a chuppah. But if the Gemara says, Kafalayim Arkegigas, and Hashem threatened them, as the Gemara says, accept the Torah or else, is the Lashon of the Gemara. No? So what's Tosfos would say? They chickened out. They got scared. They showed up at the mountain, and they saw the sights and the sounds, and they saw a very intense God, and they said, no, 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 this is too intense, we're out of here. And it was at that point that Hashem said, no, you're not. So originally, Nasa v'nishma, yeah, it sounds good. They showed up, they saw what it was, they got nervous, they tried to leave, Hashem put a gun to their head and said, take the Torah else. That's Tosfos, Shabbos Peches of Aleph. The other famous answer, just so we have good yediyos haTorah, the other famous answer is the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Noach. Which says what? What was Kafalayim Arkegigas? What was Nasa v'nishma? Nasa v'nishma was on Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is not scary. When they thought God was giving them Torah Shebichsav, a nice little storybook, 5,845 sentences, no problem. Then they showed up at the mountain and the Shem says, guess what? It comes with what? It comes with Shas. 2,711 pages of Gemara. Yeah? And like many of us can relate to, we wanted to run. Yeah? We were scared. That was very overwhelming. So Hashem forced them to accept Torah Shebaal Peh. Because a Jew has a natural netiyah to run away from Gemara, and Torah Shebaal Peh is hard. The Lashon of the Medrash is paraphrasing Shir HaShirim in the 8th Perek, that it's Oza Kamavitz. It's as difficult as death sometimes, Torah Shebaal Peh. You're sitting your head trying to figure out the Raivin and Tosos, and you know, we're going to spend the rest of the day doing. Yeah? And sometimes you feel like you're just going to explode from it. Okay? So Nasa v'nishma was on Torah Shebichsav, and Hashem had to force them into Torah Shebaal Peh. Says the Bnei Yisachar, he quotes the Gemara, he quotes Tosfos' question, and he writes in Os Tes about 7 lines down, Ulefi hanal, ufi hanisker le'el, yitochin lefarish sha'amr Yisrael stam. The Jewish people said, stam kol asher diber Hashem Nasa v'nishma. We're willing to do, we're willing to listen, with regard to what? If V'chazer Hashem Yisbarach lachvosam el haTorah v'amar lahem im mekablim es haTorah mekablim daika al derech haKabbalah shaTorah midaberes min shaAshuei haMelech. You know what we got forced into? HaKabbalah haTorah. As slaves in Mitzrayim, we were like very practical, down-to-earth, olam hazeh, gashmias type of people. So when Hashem started to present the Torah, they said, okay, this sounds good. Hashem says, no, but you realize that everything I'm saying to you is really like secrets of the universe. What do you mean? I thought you were just talking about returning a lost object. No, I'm talking about restoring souls and Gilgulei Neshamos. So they said, what are you talking about? We don't believe in that. So Hashem forced them to be Makabal, the Kabbalah. To mekabel pnimius haTorah, to realize that every bit of Torah is shashuei haMelech, that there's a deeper intent to every bit of Torah, and that's what they were forced into accepting. And he goes on and he says, "Vayezeh haDavar behechrich miito yisbarach shemo v'lo al tzara bechira miitanu." That's something we have to accept as a Kabbalah. That's why it's called Kabbalah. It's not something you take. It's something that you receive. It's forced upon you. It's transmitted to you. To realize that don't keep the Torah because it makes sense to you. Keep the Torah because every bit of it is elokus, even the most rational things. It's filled with godly intent. And this is what it says in the Navi Yeshaya. Again, that pasuk that we mentioned the other day. Very scary pasuk. HaTorah me'ititet say, the Torah will emanate from me. V'kai malon, right, the Medrash, if you remember on that pasuk, says what? Torah chadasha me'ititet say, a new Torah is going to come from me. A new Torah. Says the Bnei Yisrael, v'kai malon lo yachlif lo yamir dato. Hashem doesn't change anything. What does it mean? Rather, where it's underlined, ki haTorah hamidaberes me'ititet say, minartika v'yu anistaros kniglos. The Torah of Mashiach, the Torah of the future, that we're tasting in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, which is why we have to learn Pnimiyas HaTorah. That's what the Shem Yishmuel is going to talk to us about today. And even when we're learning Gemara, we're learning Pnimiyas HaTorah. When we learn Gemara, we're learning Pnimiyas HaTorah, while we're obviously Osek in the realm of Pshat. But in the future, Torah Chadasha Meititei Tzei, a new Torah will emerge from me, means what? It means the Torah will shed its clothing, its outer trapping, and we'll be able to see the Torah for what it really is. We'll see the Elokus Shavuot. We'll see the Pnimius Shavuot. And that's what Hashem was forcing them to accept at our Sinai. When I say in the Aseret HaDibros, don't murder, it doesn't just mean don't kill. It means a lot more. And I want you to be makabel the deeper dimensions as well. So you're not a parrot. So that you're a pardes, so that you're a flourishing orchard. Okay, Rav Jojo, what do you want to say?
So for things that are like so obvious, like for reasoning, like the shot mind, like for example, if you said for returning lost object,
right?
It's very clear, like meaning why you.
There's a pshat. There is pshat. We don't deny pshat.
So, Rebbe's trying to say that for that though, that we should always try to think about when we're learning about that. But there's
right.
Much deeper meanings to that besides. For
that's correct. To think about the deeper dimensions, and just to not for a second think that this just makes sense to me, even if I don't know the deeper dimensions, but I'm studying the mind of Hashem. I'm not studying the human intellect and human ethics. I'm studying the mind of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. No, I still don't tell you what it has to do with Purim. Because what's the end of that Gemara? Amar Rava, the Gemara says that what? Mikan moda rabalo raisa. Because the Jews got forced into accepting the Torah, they had a great excuse. What's the great excuse? You come to the Olam Emes after 120 years. You're sitting with a Kodesh Baruch Hu taking a bechin on your life, and Hashem says, you didn't do so. And you say, that's right. And I didn't ask for any of this. You forced me into it. So of course I failed. I told you I wasn't good at it. The Gemara says, that was all true until when? Until Purim. Kimu v'kiblu ayahudim. Kimu masha kiblu kvar. The Gemara says, what? Hodr kibluo b'yimei Achashverosh. In the times of Achashverosh, there was no more coercion. They accepted the Torah willingly. Rashi says, mi'avas hanes, over there, Masechet Shabbos. Mi'avas hanes. And therefore, if the Jews were initially forced into accepting Pnimiyas HaTorah, the whole avodah of Chodesh Adar, coming to Purim, is to want Pnimiyas HaTorah. Is to want it. Not to feel like, oh yeah, I've heard that there's deeper dimensions, but it's kind of like this weird, strange thing that I don't really know if I believe in. But I have to come to choose it. As a davar pashut, that every bit of Torah is filled with the presence of a Kodesh Baruch. Okay, so with that hakdama to Chodesh Adar, Let's now go back to page one. Yeah, Tavi.
The way you use it, at least the way I use it, Hasidus, is like it's a way to enhance the rest of your Avodah Hashem. Like you learn Hasidus before davening, so you can daven better. Like you learn in the beginning of the day, so you can all your learning is gonna be better. But like he's saying that like the learning of the Kabbalah and Hasidus, like it's
good is the Iker.
It's not to.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. Yeah, people think that Hasidus is like, it's a little something extra to enhance. Right? The real thing is Shor Shanaga Chasapara. The Iker is Shor Shanaga Chasapara. And like, there's also like a spiritual dimension. No, not true. We're going to dispel that notion today in a strong way. It's not true. We said the other day, what's a Yad? Right? Talk about Etzba Elokim, Yad Hashem. So I think, well, this is a yad. My hand is a yad. And then there's some like floaty idea called yad out there. Not true. That floaty idea is yad. That's the essential yad. This is the watered down version of a yad. This might feel more real. But that's the ikker. That's the true yad. Hashem's yad. It's not that we're looking at our physical hand and then reflecting it onto Hashem. Just the opposite. Okay, but let's see inside on page one. This parsha is a parsha of a lot of details. It's a parsha where it's very easy when you're building the Mishkan, you're so busy paying attention to the architectural structure of the Mishkan that you forget that you're building a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You forget that the tachlis of the Mishkan is V'shachanti B'socham. You forget that the tachlis of the Mishkan is Dior B'tachtonim. You forget that the avoda of a Jew in this world is Adar, Aleph Dar, that Hashem should be a part of our life, and that the Mishkan is a Mukum of Elokus. You get lost in the details. So says the Shem Yishmuel in the last piece in this week's Parsha. Okay? Because it's hard to even understand what this has to do with the Parsha. So that's how I'm connecting it to the Parsha. But he's quoting a Medrash from this week's Parsha. That's the connection that he's bringing. The Medrash Rabbi says, Ki lekach tov nasati lachem torasi al tazovu. Al tazovu, says the Medrash, es hamekach shenasati lachem. So what exactly did the Medrash just add? Ki lekach tov nasati lachem torasi al tazovu, says the Medrash, al tazovu es hamekach shenasati lachem. Shkoyach. Ve'enu muvan mahosif mipashto dekra. What's the Medrash adding? Hashem says, I'm giving you a good teaching, a good system of living. Don't lose it. Right? Don't lose my Torah. And then the Medrash says, yeah, don't lose the lekach. Don't lose the mekach. Changes it from lekach to mekach. Shkoyach. V'nira daha de Torah nikres lekach. What does it mean that Torah is called the lekach? What's the idea of a lekach? What does it mean? Lekicha. To take it. What does that mean? What else does the word lekach mean? So he says, I've explained elsewhere, different interpretations. V'yesh od lefarish lashon hagba. The word lekach could mean to take something as in to lift something up. To raise something up. K'mo shediye kvod kedushas avi admor. Again, almost every week now, he's been quoting his father, Avnei Nezer. The la'olam lashon lekicha hi hagba. That lekicha is a lashon of what? Of lifting something up. Of taking it, not just taking it, but lifting it up, raising it up. Ukvarus karnu ze pa'amim rabot. Ve'ivana mekam midrashim raya lezen. I brought proofs to my father's yisod. Ve'kana perish lehir misdivrei Torah. So what's Hashem saying? Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. Make sure you learn Torah in an elevated way. What does that mean? He gives us two explanations. Number one, Kvashakosav Harav. I assume he means the Baal HaTanya. Baal HaTanya's first work that he ever published was what? Hilchos Talmud Torah. Baal HaTanya, before he put out the whole Shulchan Aruch Rav, he put out as a small kuntris. He put out his Hilchos Talmud Torah, where he explains with great brilliance and great depth what it means, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So he says here, Kumosha Kosef HaRav, I assume again he's referring to the Rav Baal HaTanya, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Inyan Torah Lishma, he l'to'eles ha-Torah v'lo l'to'eles atzmo levad. Don't learn Torah just for yourself. Learn Torah Lishma. That's a loaded word, Torah Lishma. But the Baal HaTanya says Torah Lishma means what? L'to'eles ha-Torah. Do it in an elevated sense. Lishma, for the sake of the Torah, not for you. Not only so I know how to function, I know how to do my business deals. But learn those sugyas in Choshen Mishpat for the sake of Choshen Mishpat, for the sake of the Torah. Yeah, also so I know how to run my business. But for the sake of the Torah. That's what it means to learn Torah in an elevated fashion. But says the Shem Yishmuel, Sayyaf Sekem Shad, what does it mean to learn Torah in an elevated fashion? Ubepshitas yesh lefarish advar. Dine shar shea Torah heim elokus. V'nitna lamata bedvarim dehai alma. The essence of Torah really is what? Godliness. That's it. That's the shorish of it. And it expresses itself down below in this world in dinei malve velova, lenders, borrowers, v'chol seder nezikin, v'chihai gavna, and the like, everything that we're learning. Right? The Torah expresses itself, two people are fighting, and they bump into a pregnant woman, and come b'drabminei. And that's all true. The pshat of Torah is true, and that's how we see it for much of our life. But not for a second can we forget that there's an elokus shabo. And every story of the Torah, and every person of the Torah, they were real people, and they were real experiences. And the halachos are real halachos to impact our real lives, in the olam asiyah. But every bit of it is still connected to the higher spheres of Yetzira and Bria and Atzilus and all the way back to Elokus, to the Orient Sof itself. And therefore, when a Jew learns Torah in a deep way, yes, keep my Torah, but also don't lose the Mekach. Don't lose the elevated dimension of Torah. Don't lose the Torah b'sharsha, the way that it exists on high in Shemayim. How does a person come to this? Turn to page 3. Says the Shem Yishmuel in Parshas Hazin. You have to be the type of person who trains himself to listen to Torah in a deep way. It's hard sometimes. It's easy to get lost in the mashal because the mashal is very real also. If I'm learning Shor Shenaga Chesav Para, and I keep using that example, if I learn about two animals that collide with one another, I have to know what that means. I have to know the metzias of an animal colliding with another animal. But I also have to stop and say, yeah, but Shor Shenaga Chesav Para in the higher spheres means something very different. And I have to feel a connection to that, even while I'm learning Shor Shenaga Chesav Para v'derech hapshat. Says the Shem Yishmuel in Parshas Hazinu. Hazinu Shabbos Shuva Shnas Tafresh Ayin Gimel. The right hand side. The Medrash Rab. The Medrash quotes another Medrash. Interesting Medrash. Halacha. Sometimes the Medrash will introduce a halacha. Here's the halacha. A halachic discussion. Adam Yisrael Shayachoshesh Ba'azno. Mashi Emuter La'afosa B'Shabbos. If a person has an earache, are you allowed to treat it on Shabbos? Strange question. Since when does an earache does docha Shabbos? Pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. A woman who goes into labor having a baby on Shabbos, which could be life-threatening, that's docha Shabbos. A person who's deathly ill, that could be docha Shabbos. An earache is docha Shabbos? What's the question? Answers the Medrash, kach shanu chachamim, kol shesafek nefashos, docha Shabbos. Yes, anything that's potentially life-threatening is docha Shabbos. And therefore, if this earache is life-threatening, you can heal it on Shabbos. Okay, shkayach. So why did you pick the example of an ear, and you didn't really tell me anything other than you chazered over the cloud that if something's life-threatening, it's docha Shabbos? Again, the Medrash has told us very little, it seems like. Rabbanan Amri Mevakesh Atash Shalom Lachush Ba'aznecha. Then all of a sudden, they start giving us mussar. You want to not have pain in your ear? Below echad meivarecha, and you don't want to make sure they don't have pain in any of your limbs. Hatei oznecha letorah, v'ata nochel chayim. Better, you know, get involved with Torah, and it'll heal your body. How do you know that? Minayin, shenamar hatu oznechem ulechu elai, shim'u usechi nafshechem. Very interesting medrash. It says, it asks a specific question about an ear, pain in one's ear on Shabbos. It answers with the klal of something nefashos on Shabbos, we are docha Shabbos. And if your earache is life-threatening, then I guess you could be docha Shabbos. And then it says, oh, by the way, if you don't want to have trouble, just learn Torah. Strange medrash, no? So says the Shem Yishmuel, I don't bechlal understand what this medrash is telling us. So he writes at the bottom paragraph, Venira. Dine sakonas ever prati in mechal and love as a Shabbos, and lehechish sakonas kol aguf bechlalo. What's the pnimius shabo of why one's life is docha Shabbos and a single limb is not docha Shabbos? You know that really meikra adin. Meikra adin, a person has to be prepared to lose a limb not to mechal Shabbos. That's the halacha. Now again, we sometimes will assume that if a person, let's say, you know, has the possibility of their of that limb, right? Their arm gets chopped off. Their arm is like in danger of being severed on Shabbos, right? So if they don't rush to the hospital now, they're going to lose their arm. The halacha really says you have to be prepared to lose your arm not to mechal Shabbos. That's how serious Shabbos is. Now maybe, you know, we'll be more lenient because we're concerned that, God forbid, if you lose your arm, it could lead to you could lose your life. Okay, but you have to like think about this a little bit. And again, we're not talking in halacha. I'm not a posek, and you understand. But that's the severity of Shabbos. Me'ikar adin, if a person could rush to the hospital to get a certain treatment to save himself from going blind, right? It's not life threatening, but he's going to lose his vision if he doesn't drive to the hospital on Shabbos right now. Me'ikar adin, he has to be prepared to go blind, not to be mechal Shabbos. That's me'ikar adin. Again, I'm not a posek, but what's the svara there? I have to be prepared to lose a limb, but I don't have to be prepared to lose my life for Shabbos. What's the svara? So he says, the reason that when it comes to sakonas eiver prati, to lose a single limb, ain mechal and it's a Shabbos, we're only mechal Shabbos for our entire body. He quotes again from his father, the Avnei Nezer, in his Akadama to his Sefer Eglei Tal on the Malachos of Shabbos, top of the second column, since Shabbos is itself Keneged Kula, Shabbos is the Klala D'Oraisa, Shabbos is an all-encompassing mitzvah. Shabbos is a Klali Yizdik time, and therefore, only if your life, B'derech Klal, is threatened, can you be Mechal Shabbos. But if it's a detail of your existence that's threatened, Shabbos trumps. Shabbos has the upper hand. Okay? That's what the Eglei Tal explains. So it says, the Shem Yishvua, what's with an ear? See, an ear has a chitzonius and an ear has a pnimius. The chitzonius of the ear, the outside of my ear, my actual, right, ear, the part that is hanging away from my body, that part of the ear is not life-threatening. But what about the inside of my ear? Where does the inside of my ear reach? Look what he writes where it's underlined. Hinei ha'ozen atzmihi eiver prati, the inside of the ear reaches and touches to the brain. So an ear has a chitzonius and an ear has a pnimius. And therefore, the Medrash is using the example of the ear to say that so too within a person. What's true in the physical structure of man's ear, there's an outside ear and there's an inside ear. The same thing is true when it comes to the ruchnias of the ear. Again, jump down to where it's underlined. Kein nami b'shmiya, shenidra she'etzem adam yekabel ha'shmiya, v'haynu alev shu etzem ha'adam. Aval shmiya sa'ozen levad, b'li kavana, eina nogas le'etzem ha'adam. You can hear something superficially. You can hear the Torah, again, b'derech pshat. Or you could try to listen to the Torah deeply. And you could say, yes, we're talking about oxen, we're talking about donkeys, or we're talking about Yankel, like we've been talking all week. Yeah, we've talked about our strange friend Yankel. Yeah? Yankel's got some issues. Yankel's got some issues. In some Edgerton Testament Bays and Yodav and Aleph. He's got some issues. But you could say that, no, every time I learn about Yankel, I'm learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm really learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm learning deeper things. Even though, yes, superficially I'm talking about Yankel. Says the Shem Yishmuel, again where it's underlined, Hayotze Lanu Mizeh. When you're learning Pshat, you're not experiencing your full self. You're not experiencing Hashem's full Torah. You're learning the Chitzonius of it. And you're not touching the Etzem of who you are, the Etzem of what the Torah is. You're not touching the fullness of who you are. But a person who listens inside, then you're touching the etzem of who you are, you're touching the etzem of the Torah, and you're touching the etzem of Kodesh Baruch. What does it mean to learn Torah b'kavanas halev? It doesn't just mean to be fully present, like we spoke about the last couple of weeks. But it means what? Look what he says here. Hairodev achar kavanas hamaymer. What does the Torah really want? This is such an important thing because people get so frustrated. I don't really care about Shor Shanaga Chasaparo. And you know what Hashem says to the person who's feeling that frustration? You know what Hashem says to the person? It's going to sound a little shocking. You know what Hashem says to the person who's feeling frustrated about Shor Shanaga Chasaparo? And he's tired of hearing about you know, Yankel's sexually immoral behavior. It doesn't really quite make him feel godly when he's studying that. You know what Hashem says back to the person who says, I'm so tired of these details of halacha? Hashem says, I am too. Hashem says, I'm also not so interested in Shor Shanaga Chasapara. Yes, the only way I could bring the Torah down fully is to bring it all the way down to Shor Shana Sapara. But I also don't. When you feel this can't be what God wants for me to sit here all day learning Shor Shana Sapara. And Hashem says, that's right. If it's only Shor Shana Sapara, my whole life is cows and oxen. Yes, that's correct. Hashem says, this is correct. I don't want you to spend your whole life on cows and oxen. But if you can use that as a springboard to experience me, and you can, Hashem says, then that's Gavaldik. So says the Shem Yishmuel, Kavanas HaLev means what? To be Rodev Achar Kavanas HaMaimer. What's the inner intent of this Maimer? What's the point? When I'm sitting in front of my Gemara, cracking my head on a Tosfos, what's the point of all this? The point is that I'm experiencing Elokus, and I have to know that. Uma Torah Mevakeshes Mimenu. What does the Torah want from me? V'hi Pnimiyas HaInyan. And that is the Pnimiyas of the Inyan. And again, that's true, even if you're learning Pshat. Pshat has a Pnimiyas. Obviously, if a person is learning a safer pnimi, so it's obviously he's experiencing pnimis. But the point is, when you're learning and when you're osek in olam hazeh activities, to find the pnimis shabbat. Where does this statement come from? To be rodev achar kavanas hamaimer. Just turn the page for a moment. The bottom of page 4, the bottom left-hand corner. He brings an interesting makor. Again, I'm not sure. I don't know enough to say yes or no that this is the source or where it is. I never saw it inside. But I found the Shem Yishmuel in Lech Lecha. He says, "Kalashon haRambam zal b'tshuvosav." Apparently, the Rambam has this lashon in the tshuva. The great rationalist, the Rambam, tells us, "Lios rodev achar kavanas haTorah." Even the Rambam understood. The Rambam, who explained the Torah in the Morah Nevuchim, b'derech hapshat, to a point that the tzaddikim were angry at him. Rabbi Nachman was very critical. How the Rambam sucked all the elukus out of the Torah to explain pshat. But even the Holy Rambam, the Halakha Rambam says, what? To be rodef achar kavanas haTorah. Lo levad shitchis hadvarim. Rak lahaschil al ikar hakavana af she'ina mefureshus. But to try to dig beneath the surface and ask myself, what's the deeper intent here? Even if it's not openly being stated. Okay? The Berditchever, in the Kedushas Levi and Parshas B'Shalach, explains to us a phrase we see all the time in the Torah, and we don't really know what it means. He puts it in the context. It comes up in B'Shalach because he's commenting on Az Yashir. Az Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael Sashira Azos LaHashem Vayomru Lemor. What's Vayomru Lemor? So Chazal have many interpretations of Vayomru Lemor. But how about Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor? Ever think about that pasuk? It's probably the most common pasuk in Chumash. I used to know how many times it appears. I don't remember. Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Hashem said to Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, what's the Vayedaber Hashem on Moshe Lemor? So says the Berditchever, it's exactly this Yisod. There's Shmiah and there's Shmiah. They're saying and then they're saying. Says the Berditchever on page 5, on the left-hand side, Ki b'chol makom asher nimtza b'torah seinu akadosha milas lemor. Every time you have, like we have here in Az Yashir, Vayomru Lemor, or Vayedaber Hashem on Moshe Lemor, Ha'inin hu kach, sharei ha-Torah kodma la'olam. The Torah preceded the world. The Torah preceded the world. That means the Torah has to exist in all of its dimensions before there ever was a shor, and there ever was a para, to create shor shenagach as a para. That means the mitzvah of achilas matzah existed prior to Klal Yisrael going to Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim. B'sharsha, at its root. The Torah preceded the world. V'imkein eich shayach ba v'timna haitza pilegesh. This is like always the pasuk that they use, right? So what does it mean that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, was married to a woman named Timna? That he had a pilegesh named Timna? How is that in the Torah? And how is that kodem the world? Before Hashem created anything, there was a concept? There was an idea? There was a pasuk? V'timna haitza pilegesh l'Eliphaz? Osharas Yipurei Maisi was kodem shenivra olam. How is there anything? That's already a bad story. It's talking about Rishayim. What was Avram before Avram? What was Yitzchak before Yitzchak? What was Yaakov before Yaakov? Elavadai emet shekola Torah kula shemosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Ramban writes in his Akdama to Torah, that the Torah from beginning to end is what? Is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a pnimius shabo. The Torah from beginning to end is the name of Hashem. What's a name? We've said many times, the name is what? It's the essence of something. The essence of something. So that means the Torah has an essence to it. before it comes out, before it expresses itself as Timna Haisa Pilagesh, and before it expresses itself in any of these stories of the Torah, any Sipurei Maisios, says the Berditchever, the Torah at its Shoresh was what? Was the shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the name of Hashem, the essence of Hashem, the Atzmius Elokus. I'll just share, just pause for a second. I'll share with you something nice. I thought you could say, we know, the Zohar says, Kuchibrichu Yisrael Varaisa Chadu. Yeah? Where do we say that every single day in Shemona Esrei? Where do we acknowledge that every single day in Shemona Esrei? That the Jewish people, Hashem, and the Torah are what? Ata Kadosh. Ata Kadosh, Hashem, you are holy. Right? Vishimcha Kadosh. What's Shimcha Kadosh? The Torah, which is Shemos of Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ukdoshim b'chol yom yaluch haselah. You see? Ata Kadosh, Kuchibrichu. Vishimcha Kadosh, the name of Hashem, which is the Torah, as the Ramban writes in the Akdamah to Chumash, right? Ukdoshim b'chol yom is Kal Yisrael. So every single day when we say Ata Kadosh, we're acknowledging Kuchibrichu Yisrael v'Oraisa, Hashem, the Jewish people, the Torah, one. And they're all Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. All three dimensions coming together. Now think about that when you daven Shemona Esrei. So says the Berditchever, look what he says. V'hayu bat seirufi osios razin v'sodos ne'alamim asher lo shezaf son ayin. So the Torah is filled with all sorts of secrets. Elis shebihishtal shalusam lezeha olam ha'shafel neslab shu b'levush av. But when the Torah came down to this world, what happened? It clothed itself in thick garments. V'gam b'sipuri maisers. And it clothed itself in stories. But a person who's a little bit smarter than the average bear does what? Says, I'm not gonna fall for the chitonius shabbo. He removes the blinders from his eyes. And he sees niflos habore, not just looking at Hashem's beautiful world, he sees the niflos of the Torah. He sees mamish secrets, mysteries, godliness, flowing out of what? Shorshanaga Chasapara. Amnam, but says the Berditchever, unfortunately, paraphrasing Sukkah Memhei, Bnei Aliyah Hema Mu'atim. Who said that? That the Bnei Aliyah are few. Hey, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son. You know, we're a small chevra. There's not too many people in the world like us. We once said in the past, in one of the Tells of Rashi Yeshiva, Bnei Aliyah. It doesn't say Bnei Mala. Bnei Mala means I made it. Bnei Aliyah means I'm trying to make it. There aren't even people trying to make it. There aren't even people who want to discover the secrets of the Torah. They don't even believe in the secrets of the Torah. Let alone, you know, actually getting there and uncovering it. But at the very least, let's try to believe that it's true. That it's filled with Elokus. Most people get stuck on Pshat. And that's where they're born and that's where they die. And Chaval that such a person should live such a way. So says the Berditcher, now you understand the pasuk that appears most in the Torah. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Zeu vayidaber Hashem El Moshe. Ratzalomer. Shadibur haya El Moshe v'signon ze. Shehu Lemor. Turn the page. Top of page 6. La'am b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, Moshe, you know what the Torah is really about, but Lemor, I'm giving it to you in a way that you can say it to Klal Yisrael. B'derech Hapshat. What doesn't appear in the Torah because it can't be said b'derech hapshat? That's a good riddle. The answer is found in a Kli Yakar in Parshas Bechukosai. What's not discussed in the Torah, a fundamental thing that we believe in, that's not openly discussed in the Torah? Olam Hava. The Torah doesn't talk about Olam Hava. So the Kli Yakar in Bechukosai puts together a whole list of reasons why the Torah doesn't talk about what? Why it doesn't talk about Olam Haba. One of the answers is because the Torah has to operate on a Pshat level, in addition to the deeper levels, but has to at least be able to descend into Pshat, and Olam Haba can't descend into Pshat. That's one of the answers he gives. But everything else comes into Pshat. So Hashem says to Moshe, listen, you know what I'm really talking to you about. But Lamor, go say it over in such a way that what? That the Jewish people can what? Can hear it, but they're a Pshat. Because for most people, you know, not for most people, for all people, that's the starting point. But Hashem's also revealing every time he says, Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, do I want to listen the way Moshe listened? Do I want to listen the way a simple Am Aretz listened? How do I want to hear the Torah? But there's so much more contained within for the person who wants to find it. And that's the Oz Yashir Moshe, right? V'chulu, Vayomru Lemor. realize that the Shira could just be a nice song. The whole Torah is for Lachem as a Shira Zos. The Torah could be a nice song. It could be some nice ideas, some nice stories, some simple messages, or it could be mamash, an encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Elokus, through and through. Pnimiyas HaTorah. Okay, now I want to share with you one of the most important things, really, in this sugya that we've been discussing today. I love this piece more than anything in the world because I think it gets right to it. Yeah, Tommy, what do you want to say?
What people did before the 1700s when this Nisr Torah wasn't accessible?
I don't know. We're living in a time where we have no excuse because it is accessible. There's an unfolding of Torah. Tomorrow we're going to have a guest lecture, Mirtz Hashem. Tomorrow we're going to change the Seder thing. That's why we're learning Shem Bishmul today. Tomorrow we're going to have Gemara Seder and Shir in the morning. And then at around 11:30 or so, maybe even a little earlier, we're going to have a major session on that question with a guest lecture, special guest lecture. Okay, it's going to be a very serious session. And the question that I want him to address is, why do I believe in everything we've been learning for the last 40 minutes? Why do I believe it? Why should I believe it? Why do I believe this more than I believe Christianity? That's the question. Right? Why do I believe in revelations of the Baal Shem Tov and the Arizal more than I believe in revelations of Lahavdil, right, Yashka, or anyone else who claims they have a New Testament? That's the question tomorrow. Okay, and I'm bringing a very capable speaker to address that question. Okay, yeah, can you say something?
Yeah, how do we balance what we spoke about 2 weeks ago with the Pshitus and this meaning saying, don't be a Pashut Yid, understand.
It says Pshitus, right. No, it's a good question. I don't know, it's not a steer to being a Pashut Yid. Again, he's not... The first level of doing this is not learning Kabbalah. The first level of doing this is sitting in front of my Gemara and realizing that I'm studying Torah Hashem. That God is talking to me through Shor Shenagach Esapara. Or through Yankel and his Shor. Hashem is speaking to me through that. Even though it seems like very, very physical Olam Hazeh things. Obviously. That's Pashut. That being with Hashem. That's as Pashut as it gets. But yeah, there's levels. But I don't think it's a steer. Okay, so let's go. Chaver, it's getting late, so let's keep going, please. In the Shiurei Pnine Adas, from Rav Elia Meir Bloch, from Taos. Okay, now we kind of have the answer at this point, but he says it's so clear. It's such an important piece. He has a piece in his Sefer Shiurei Pnine Adas called Sharshan Shel Mitzvos. Okay, the hour's late, so I'm going to talk most of it outside. He asked the same question the Berditcher just asked. He said, I don't understand, what does it mean the Torah existed before the world? So what was Cheira Egel before Cheira Egel? And what was Parah Aduma, which is supposed to be, according to Rashi, the Tikkun for Cheira Egel, before Cheira Egel? And what was Matzah? What was Yitzias Mitzrayim before Yitzias Mitzrayim? So what's going on here? How do we understand these things? So he explains, similar to what the Berditcher just said, we'll take it from the second arrow on page 7. Mitzias ha'olamos ha'olyonim, kol ha'im yanim ha'nimtsoim po ba'olameinu, Haschalasim v'sharshim hu ba'olamos elyon. Every single thing that you see in this world, from these dirty tissues on my desk, yeah, to the Swiss Alps and everything in between, every single thing you see in this world is a reflection of what? Of something from a higher sphere. Every single thing in this world, every speck of dirt is a reflection of something from above. Asher mitziusam ha'amitis hisham. Their essential existence is above. The Eilah and Yonim Atzum Mishtal Shalom Derech Alfei Ravavos Olamos Elyonim, and a spiritual idea came down and was Mishtal Shel, and it was transformed over and over and over and over and over again until it became what? Until it became a speck of dirt on the side of Amsterdam Avenue. That's the Mitzias. That's the reality. Ashem Megiim LOlamino Olam Agashmi. Okay, so tells the Rosh Hashiva. Turn to page 8. So he says, when it comes to Torah, it's the same thing. Again, when a person has a feeling, and I always used to use this piece when I taught high school kids, because all the more so where they have that immature feeling that the Torah is coming to oppress them. It's such a yesodistic piece. Does God really care if I take an animal, and I take its skin, and I fashion a box, and I take some more of its skin, and I write some Hebrew words on it, and I strap it to my arm, and I wrap it around my head? Does God really care about that? Tefillin, take an animal hide, right? What's the answer? And does God really care if my lulav is just right, that it shouldn't be split on top. Does God really care about these things? These details? What's the answer? Yes and no. No in the sense that you're right, the lulav's not the be-all and end-all. The concept of lulav exists on high. Happens to be when the Jewish people were ready to receive it, Hashem looked at their madrig and said, okay, this is what lulav is going to mean to you. It's going to mean a palm branch. And here are the rules of the palm branch. But God, why are you so crazy about the rules? You know why? Because every detail of the palm branch connects you to a higher sphere. So if you look at the lulav and say, does God really care about the lulav? The answer is yes and no. No in the sense that the lulav is not the be-all and end-all. Yes in the sense that that's my only what? Conduit, that's my only connector to the Olam HaSelyonim. So he says that's exactly what happened in creation of the world. Tefillin could have been totally different. Did Yaakov wear tefillin? Yes. You know how Yaakov wore tefillin? You know when you finish wearing tefillin, you have stripes on your arm? So when Yaakov was in Lavan's house, and he was taking the weird psukim describing how he's taking those twigs and he's ripping them apart into strips, and he's putting them in the water, and the sheep are becoming being fruitful because of that. And he's laying down the stripes, and he's pulling apart the poplar trees, or whatever it says in our scroll. Yeah? Those stripes, that's Yaakov's tefillin. So that's what I'm saying. Rishonim said, Yaakov's tefillin. When Avram kept Kol HaTorah Kula, do you think he kept it the same way we do? He kept it on a much higher level. And Avram wasn't even keeping it on the highest level. Mishorshon shel mitzvos. That's the title of this piece. Shorshon shel mitzvos. There's a shorish to the mitzvos. Cheda Egel, and Parah Aduma, which was a response to Cheda Egel, those were concepts that existed and could have come down in a very different way. We brought down Parah Aduma in the form of a red cow because of the choices that Klai Yisrael had made up to that point, in that moment when Hashem finally decided to give the Torah. But don't for a second think that Parah Aduma is nothing other than a red cow whose ashes need to be sprinkled on a person who's tamei meis. It's mamash a very yisodistic piece. And again, I recommend you take the time to learn it slowly inside. The hour's late, so I'm going to keep going, but take the time to look at it. Okay. Now we come to the sharpest and strongest words of the day, the Majid Sarebi, in last week's Parsha. And the Majid Sarebi, take this with you. Next time you get into a fight with someone who says, what's the point? How do you know there's Pnimius HaTorah? What's wrong with just learning Pshat? Okay, here's what's wrong with just learning Pshat. Here's what's wrong with sitting in front of a Gemara for your entire life and never once thinking about Hashem. Okay, it's in this paragraph. Al Kol Devar Pesha, on page 9, the Divrei Yisrael of Majitz. Al Kol Devar Pesha Shar Yomar Ki Uzeh. So first he quotes from his grandfather. Rabbi Yechezkel of Kuzmir used to explain, when we say in davening in the morning, "Ubisoras l'ksuv le'mor Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad," so he said an amazing part. "Ubitoras l'ksuv le'mor perish." "Ubitoras l'ksuv le'mor," when the Torah says everything that it says, "Halachos dinim shonim kemosh naim ochsim betalis shor shanagach dinim migo v'kiyotze," all the nitty gritty stuff of Torah. "Ubitoras l'ksuv le'mor," everything the Torah has to say is really what? Aval Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Make sure when you're learning the sugya of Migo, and Palgina Dibura, and Kamle B'Dirab Minei, and Shnayim Ochsen Betalis, and Shor Shenagach, make sure that through that, Shema Yisrael, listen carefully, what are you hearing? I'm hearing Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I'm hearing Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. V'toras l'ksuv le'imor Shema Yisrael, min alim arazeh Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. V'zeh shenim shel ha-Torah ledad. And it's in this way that the Torah is compared to the breast that the child suckles from its mother. Da'deha yirvucha. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Parakei, da'deha yiravucha. End of the pasuk is b'chol eis. Like the mother's milk that's constantly producing more and more all the time. But look, in what way is the Torah, like again, like that child suckling from its mother? Hainu kamo hadad hu akli sh'al yedei Shal Yada Moshe Chachalav Min Makor, the same way that the breast serves as what? As the conduit to draw the milk from its source. Vatino Katipesh, and the foolish child doesn't understand. The child who only knows what? The source of its food. It's Sover Shadad Hu Mafarnes Veno Moshech. It doesn't understand that this source of its milk is its mother. That it's its mother that's providing, and the milk is being drawn from a deeper place. And therefore the child, what? In taking from its mother, it's no sheikh v'lo eis asadad, right? It bites its mother's breast. Hine osech abura bahadar umot its dam velo chalav kumuvan. And it injures, so to speak, the mother. And the child is getting blood mixed into the milk because it doesn't understand that it's harming its mother. It doesn't appreciate, it doesn't have a sensitivity to understand what it's dealing with. Kamo kein hu belima la Torah. So too, there's some people that they're chomping on Torah, but they're being disgraced for themselves and a disgrace for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeu inyan asher b'gemara nemar b'lashon tashma v'zor lashon tachazi. He says, as many others say, when you're learning Gemara Tashma, make sure you're listening carefully, because what you're hearing is not the only thing Hashem wants you to hear. When you open up the Zohar, Tachazi, come and see. You can see what it is. You can see it's Elokus. But when you're learning the Gemara, there's a danger. There's a danger that the outer ear, like we saw in Shem Yishmuel Hazinu, that the outer ear and the inner ear become detached from one another. And therefore, Tashma, make sure you listen carefully. Ki b'Zohar hasod hu b'izgalya. The second you open up the book, miyad sheposeach haZohar, roshu kulo sodos. There's no confusion there. Tachazi, come see Niflaos HaBorei. Even if you don't understand it, you'll see there's a God in this world. Avala Gemara, turn the page. But a person who's learning Gemara, lemara einei ha'odam, him dvarim pshutim, in yonei masu matan umekach umemkar, tolam hazeh, it's Sanhedrin, it's Bava Kama, it's Bava Tzias, it's Bava Basra. And therefore, Tashma, make sure you're listening to the Sod. Make sure you hear the deeper dimension of what's happening. V'hainu, next paragraph. V'hainu k'mavur b'zohar kadosh. She'pashtios ha'torah hu rak levushe ha'torah. It's only the clothing of the Torah, the pshat. She'ha'torah mislabeshes behem. Ka'neshama b'soch ha'guf. Like the neshama in the body. And then the Zohar has very, very harsh lashonos about a person who only learns pshat. V'tipshin da'alma lo mistakli ela b'lavushe v'lo yasir. The fool only looks at the clothing. Think of the mashal of the Baal HaTanya in the fourth chapter of Tanya. The person who thinks I'm only hugging the king's clothing, I'm not interested in the king who's in the clothing. V'chakime, but those who are wise, mistakli tachos hahu levusha. A person who's more connected wants to see what's beneath the clothing. B'nishmasa d'oraisa, wants to see the soul of the Torah. Shehu ha'ikar. V'omer shepashtius ha'torah zos hu gufei ha'torah. And a person who mistakenly believes that the ikar is the ox and the cow colliding. Ein lo chelek li'olam haba. The Zohar says, ein lo chelek li'olam haba. You don't know the first thing about what Torah is. It's not what Torah is supposed to be. You're totally lost. You're totally lost. You're getting an intellectual high off of it, but you're totally lost. And you're not focused at all on what it's supposed to be. So now look how we connect this to the pasuk. Ready for this? It's so geshmak. What was the pasuk? Al kol devar pesha mishpatim. Last week's parsha. Al kol devar pesha, for any type of negligence, al shor, al chamor, al seh, al salma, al kol aveda, shor yomar ki uzeh. Yeah, babetzia. Nu, babakama. Says the Majitzer, Perish. He says as follows. Al shor, al chamor. Hainu, kigon shita, shor shenagach. Va'amach lif para bechamor. A person who's learning any sugya in Shas. Al seh, al salma, kigon shita, sakonis litzon. Akonis son. Vishnayim ochzim betalis. Whatever you're learning about. Whether, again, it's a shor, it's a chamor, it's a seh, it's a garment, whatever it is. Al kol aveda, kigon shitas meshim aveda. Yeah? Person loses an object. Yesh lo midas, yesh midas. Yeah? You're learning ba metzia. Good, gavaldik. Look what he says where it's underlined. Veratza lomer. Al kol davar pesha. Al kol davar pesha, perish ha pesha ola al kol davar pesha hu. You know what the greatest negligence you could do in your life is? You know what al kol davar pesha, you know what the biggest avera is? Al kol davar pesha. The biggest sin of all is that what? Is al shor, al chamor, al seh, al salma, al kol aveda. When you're learning the pshat of the Torah, asher yomer ki uzeh. You say, this is it. This is the whole thing. Shnayim ochsim betalis. That's it. It's shnayim ochsim betalis. A kol davar pesha, the biggest aver you could do, the biggest disgrace you can make to the Torah, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to yourself, is if you say, ki hu zeh. It is what it is. As it appears, that's it. That's the whole thing. Sha'omer al pashtios ha'torah, zeh hu gufei Torah velo yoser. Zos hi ha'pesha ola kol davar pesha. It's the biggest aver you could possibly do. Because you've totally lost what the Torah is. You've redefined the Torah in a way that's not what it is. That's very offensive to God. This is not like stam, you know, ideas. That's offensive. Imagine if someone walked around calling you by a different name. Yeah? Imagine if your name is Moshe Tzvi and someone walked over to you and called you Yankel. Especially after we learned about Yankel. Yeah, imagine some guy always came over and said, "Hey Yankel, what's going on?" "My name's not Yankel, it's Moshe." "Yeah, okay Yankel, I'll see you later." Imagine a person did that all the time. The Gemara says a person who calls another person by a nickname. So what happens when I turn all of Hashem's Torah into a nickname? Hashem says, it's me. He says, nah, it's Rosh Hashanah Chesapara. No, it's God. No, it's just Rosh Hashanah Chesapara. It's offensive, it's hurtful. I call Devar Pesh, it's the greatest offense. Because you've lost the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And not only that, you've used Hashem to lose Hashem. You've now used Kodesh Baruch Hu to lose the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have a picture on the wall, yeah, of Rav Shimon Zalachaver. On page 11, Rav Avram Shimon Alevi Ish Horowitz, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levrach, Hashem Yinkom Damo, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, Rav Shimon Zalachaver, wrote a sefer called Na'arei Eish. And in the Na'arei Eish, he writes on page 11, Mishalomei Torah Rak B'Nyanei Gashmias, a person who only learns the Gashmias of the Torah, Ve'inu Rotza Leida Shebe Gashmias, Hazem Melubash Ruchnias Ne'elama, and doesn't care that there's a Pnimias Shebo, Nasa Geshem Amish. You know what? You turn into a shore, and you turn into a chamor, and you turn into a para. If that's your whole world, that's what you become. It drags you down. It doesn't make you more ruchni. It makes you more gashmi. Nasa Geshem Amish. Aval Misha Rotza Lahavin Atochen Aruchni Umamin Bezeh Amun Ashlema Yasig V'Yavin Yoser V'Yoser. Then you're getting closer to Hashem. Then you're learning Torah. And again, it doesn't mean you have to figure out the Kabbalistic secrets of Shor Shanagach HaSapara. It just means I have to know that I'm learning Hashem's Torah. And it's not just another class that I'm taking. I take a class in mathematics and calculus. I take a class in B-law. And I take a class in business law. And I take a class in Bava Metzia. Person who learns like that, a kol davar pesha, the biggest aver of all, is not Torah. It's bechlal not Torah. So he goes on, and again, I'm just going to say it outside because it's late. He says there's three categories of people. There's people, he says, you can see by the second arrow, there's people who bechlal don't believe that there's anything beneath the surface. There's no such thing as pnimius haTorah. He says there's a second group of people, which is such an interesting group the way he describes it, who believe in pnimius haTorah, but they know that, they feel the only way to get real covet is to be a lamdan. So they say, nah, pnimius haTorah, people are going to say I'm a neil chassid. I'd rather walk around with Rav Chaim Brisker, then people say, oh look, he's a real Talmid Chacham. So they're too embarrassed to choose pnimius haTorah, even though they believe it. That's a wild category. A lot to think about there. He says on page 12, there's a third category. The third category believes it, but says, who am I to be osek in it? It's only for tzaddikim. It's only for gedolim. Right? So that's foolish, because the tzaddikim are saying it's for you. The tzaddikim are saying, b'zman hazenik, b'sid mashiach, it's for you. And he ties it into the psukim in a very beautiful way on page 12. Right? When Moshe is negotiating with Hashem, Vayomer, Moshe says, Veheim lo ya'aminu li, group one, those who don't believe bechlal. Group two, v'lo yishmu bekoli, they believe it but they don't want to follow it because they want to be lamdanim. Group number three, Kiyomer lo nira elecha Hashem. Group three says, yeah, it's real, but it's not for me. I'm not on a madrega to be makabel such a thing. So Hashem says to Moshe, take the staff in your hand and throw it down. And you'll see, you can read inside again later, see how Rav Shimon Zalachaver develops it. But in the end, when Moshe picks up the staff, Vayachzik bo v'yilamata bikapo. So interesting. The staff was originally in his yad, kochi votzim yadi, in the end it was in his kaf. Kaf means what? The best way to understand, I think, this piece of Na'arei Eish is a story that Rabbi David Aaron tells in his Hakdama to his book, Endless Light. I think that's where it is. You have to ask the Oraita guys to confirm that's where it is. I'm pretty sure it's in the beginning of that book. I only remembered it this morning. I didn't get a chance to look at home. But I'm pretty sure in the Hakdama to Endless Light by Rabbi David Aaron, he tells the following story. Went to join a group of Kabbalists. Tells the story of someone who went to join a group of Kabbalists, a secret group of Kabbalists. And he walks in, and this was his bechina, to see if he's eligible to join the group. He walks into the room, all these, you know, ziknei hador, learning Kabbalah. And this younger person walks in, who was invited to join, walks into the room, and the Rebbe, whoever's giving the shir, reaches into his shender and takes out an apple. He's holding the apple like this in the front of the room. Everyone's just watching. So the new guy has to, you know, this is the test, right? What do you do? So he comes to the front, so he signals him, come to the front. So he comes, he's standing there, and the Rebbe's just standing there holding this apple. And he's trying to figure out, like, what am I supposed to do? So he reaches for the apple. He tries to take the apple, right? And then he pulls away the apple. And then he brings it back. So I figure out what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to bite the apple. I'm supposed to, I have to be faster than the Rebbe to grab the apple. Right, he tries to grab it again. not working. Finally, he realized, hold on a second. What's Kabbalah? What's Pnimes HaTorah? Right? Pnimes HaTorah presents Mekabel. Presents Mekabel. Kafal Amar Kegigas, like we started with. Hashem has to give it to you. Has to impose it on you. It's not something you take on your own. And therefore, what did he do? He went like this. Put out his hands. He cupped his hands. And the Rebbe dropped the apple in his hands and said, go sit down. Now you're ready. Now you're ready to be a part of the Chabura. Yeah? Moshe Rabbeinu had a staff in his yad. A person who takes the Torah, Kochi Votim Yodi, I take the Torah, you can only get so far. But Moshe was taught, throw down the staff, realize your Torah could be a nachash, could be poison, and then pick it up in your kaf, pick it up in your hand, you makabel it. Pnimis the Torah. Pnimis Torah. Give me two more seconds, Chavra, and then I'll take your comments. Okay? Just go to page 13 and 14, we'll finish up, and then you guys can. I want to be Messiah this year. On page 13, I know we're only supposed to have 13 pages in the packet, because Gmatya Echad and Ava, but too bad. Okay, on page 13, in the back of the Narish. Again, take a look. This is our Rebbe today. Take a look at his picture. The Holy Tzaddik. Lost his life, Al-Kiddush Hashem. Rav Shimon of Zalachav, Shimula Zalachav, they called him. So in the back of the Narish, they said to him, when you give Musar Shmuzin, why don't you ever speak about the other things people speak about? Chuv al Shalas Rabbim, Madua Eno Medaver Bamamar of Minadvar Mashchichim. Why don't you talk about Zihiras Minabatala, Dvarim Batalim, screaming about iPhones? Right? Talk about how much time people waste. Zihiras min Lashon Hara, Hasmad B'li Mitorah, they're all very chashuv things. Why don't you talk about those topics? V'omer Huzal, he said, because if I can get you to be connected to Hashem, that will automatically speak to you about all those topics. If I could get you to realize that your entire morning seder of Shnayim Ochsim Betalas was a conversation about Hashem, so then I wouldn't have to scream to you about don't look at pornography on your iPhone. And I don't have to tell you to stop speaking Lashon Hara. I don't have to tell you to be serious about your Lima Torah because you'd be excited. Of course I'm excited about Lima Torah. I'm learning Hashem, not learning about oxen and donkeys. So he said, if I could just get a person to elevate himself, ki lekach tov, to be a little bit more elevated like Shemi Shmuel told us. Afilu rak barak lavad min advarm gvom. If I could strike one strike of lightning from above, one strong flash of light from a higher sphere, merachik es alev min chefse anoshim yoser min biur racha bedvarm apshutim hanodam. I can accomplish much more with one strike of Pnimiyas HaTorah, one glimpse of Elokus, will go a lot further than a million Musar Shmuzin about Olam Hazeh things. So I want to just be Messiah. In the Maisa Ish, one of my favorite pieces, in the second volume of the Maisa Ish from the Chazan Ish, whose whole life was Torah. He wasn't a Chassid, but his Torah was a Torah that was connected to Pnimiyas, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chazan Ish describes something that happened to him as a young man. Unbelievable. Look what he writes here. Siper Rabbeinu, the Chazon Ish told us, Shebialduso Amad Me'acherei Delis Beiso Shalagon Rabban Zion Sternfeld. That one time the Chazon Ish found himself listening through the door outside the home of Rabban Zion Sternfeld, who was one of the people, it's not a household name, but he writes here, Rabban Zion Sternfeld was one of the Rabbanim who gave a skama to the Mishnah Berurah. Who wrote a skama for the Chavetz Chaim on the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, again, I don't know much about this Rabban Zion Sternfeld, but needless to say, he was a big person. What did the Chazon Ish hear? Vishama eichshu lo made mishnas shor shenaga chesapara. The example I've been choosing the entire morning. He heard how Rabban Zion Sternfeld was learning the Mishnah, an ox, a shor shenaga chesapara, that gored a cow. Look how he said it. V'amar b'hai lishna. And here's how he said the Mishnah. Amar haribono shel olam, zok the ribono shel olam shor shenaga chesapara. If we would start every line of Gemara by saying to ourselves and to our Chavrusa, Zok the Rabbonu Sholam, Amr of Yosef, yeah, and then tell the story of Yankel. It's a very different story about Yankel. Amr Rabbonu, Zok the Rabbonu Sholam, Shor Shanaga Chasapara. God said, Shor Shanaga Chasapara. The Rambam in the Parash of Mishnah always says, Hashem says, we always say the Torah says. If you look in the Rambam in the Parash of Mishnah, in the back of the Gemara, he always says, when he quotes a pasuk, he says, Hashem says. That's Gavaldik. We should talk like that. And we always say, the Torah says this, the Torah says that. Who's the Torah? I'm Rachmana. Yeah, who's the Torah? Hashem says. Hashem says. Like I told you the other day for the Kutzker. A chassid is afraid of Hashem who commands the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Misnagid, unfortunately, sometimes what? He's scared of the Shulchan Aruch. He's scared of a book. He's lost sight of the one who commands in the book. So therefore, says the Rambam, Amar Hashem Yisparach. Hashem says, and then he quotes a pasuk. That's what Rabbi Shimon Sternfeld taught the Chazon Ish, and he lived with it for the rest of his life. Amar Rabbono Shalom Shor Shanaga Chasapara. Hakol Davar Pesha, the greatest avera, a person who says, Ki Hu Zeh. It is what it is. Says the Shem Yishmul, Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lechem. The Lekach, the elevated way to learn Torah, to see the Pnimius Shabbo. So Mirtz Hashem, like we learned last week, to be Pnimia means to be deep people. But to learn that part of being a Pnimia means learning the Torah in a deep way. That no matter how mundane the topic might be, Nekachu Memkar, a person looks at it with spiritual eyes and says every word of it, this is Elokus, this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu talking to me. And I feel the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence every step of the way. And that'll be a tremendous tikkun for Klal Yisrael to learn Torah in such a way. Okay, Shkoyach, thanks for being patient. Yeah, Ravitcha, what do you want to say?